guys, welcome to another episode of Cuentos with Hannah. It has been a while since we have talked, just the two of us, and I'm so excited for this episode because we are starting a new segment here on the podcast where you send in some of your questions and advice, needs, and I will try my best to give you my take on these topics. I really just missed sitting down and chatting with you. It has been a long while. I think I haven't done one of this in like a whole year. So bear with me if I'm a little bit rigid or I feel like I'm holding back or something, because I personally think that I'm dusting off some cobwebs and stretching these legs again. I haven't done a personal podcast in a while. But anyway, it's now, you know, the second half of the year. Might as well reintroduce these solo podcasts because it's been fun. So I would like to do this more. But anyway, I asked questions on my Twitter with the hashtag AskKWH. I also asked on my Facebook. You can also email me at cuentoswithhannah@gmail.com if you have any specific advice needs and if you want to give me a little bit of a backstory as to why you need that advice and you want it to be anonymous, you can do it there. No problemo. But I'm going to be answering these questions without mentioning the names of those who sent it in because I want to keep them private. But I hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode, and it's pretty on the spot. I didn't do much preparation. I didn't really prepare much. I just chose the questions, but I think that it would be more true to an actual conversation with me if I didn't have notes. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing today. And I hope that you are doing well. I hope that today you decided for yourself that this day is going to be the day that the Lord has made. This day is going to be a day when you're going to love yourself, when you're going to look after yourself, and a day where you're going to lie down in your bed about to sleep and you're going to be like, I'm proud of myself. I did today. Whether, you know, you do one thing or you do five things, whatever it is, you're alive, you are breathing. You clicked on this podcast to, I don't know, maybe chill out or be inspired. And I just want to let you know I'm proud of you. So, yeah. Hi. I've missed talking to you. Okay, so let's start with our first question. Our first question is how to make progress as a perfectionist. I have been a self-proclaimed perfectionist for quite a while. And at first, I was kind of using it as a loose term. And I was, you know, saying, oh yeah, I'm a perfectionist and stuff like that. But actually, that little statement can really determine a lot of little actions that are to follow that statement. Changing your identity or connecting something to your identity, such as a trait or a label like perfectionist, actually does something to your brain that makes you act according to that personality trait. So when I started calling myself a perfectionist because I had perfectionist tendencies, I started acting according to that personality trait in so many things. You know, if there's one edit on a video that needs to be fixed, like it's super minor, nobody's gonna see it but me, I'm gonna re-export a whole video. It might take 30 minutes to do that, just to fix that one split second of a problem on the edit. And I would do that because I'm like, well, I'm a perfectionist. But now I don't really want to coin that term as somebody, as me anymore. I don't want to define myself as a perfectionist because it's honestly a very difficult battle to overcome perfectionism. And I think that it is just healthier on my part to be like, I like things when they are excellently done, but excellent doesn't necessarily have to mean perfect. And perfect is absolutely unattainable. So that has really given me a lot of weight lifted from my shoulders that I no longer want to be a perfectionist. And I don't want to call myself a perfectionist because I don't want to determine my identity as something that I don't want it to be, if that makes sense. So I do have perfectionist tendencies, yes. But I'm working through it, and I think I'm really definitely getting better. So the way that I make progress as a perfectionist is I actually, well, number one, as I mentioned, I don't call myself a perfectionist. Number two, in order to get rid of that identity, personality trait, you have to do actions that counter that personality trait. So if, let's say, for example, you say you have a fear of heights, if you go on a roller coaster that's super tall and you're able to do it, suddenly that personality trait of you being afraid of heights, or that that part of your personality being afraid of heights, is questioned, you know. And suddenly now, since it's questioned, it can be changed. And the same thing when it comes to perfectionism. If you want to challenge perfectionism, you must allow yourself to make mistakes. You must allow yourself to have imperfect work and to be at peace with the fact that it's not perfect. And so there have been times when I am editing a video and I see like a little speck. Maybe I drew something extra on my drawing pad and accidentally exported it onto my video, and there's just a speck of like marker on the edit. I used to redo the whole drawing just because there's one speck, but now I literally have a video coming out soon. You won't even notice. You won't even find where that speck is. If you can find it, I'm gonna give you a prize. But there is a speck on that drawing in my next video, and I literally paused and I told myself, there is a speck there and I am not going to redo it. I'm gonna export it and I'm gonna publish it, and I'm not going to fix it. And honestly, that was very freeing for me, and it allowed me to look at my perfectionist tendencies in the face and say, haha, not anymore. So that's really how I think progress is made. You probably have your own limitations that you have placed in you probably have your own limitations that you have placed in front of you. You have probably taken in certain truths and adopted certain truths about yourself throughout your life that you never challenged. Maybe somebody says you're bad with names, or maybe somebody says you're not good with directions, and you've just taken that as truth. Yeah, I'm bad with names, or I'm forgetful, or I'm not really good with directions. But have you ever tried changing that belief, changing that truth? So I really challenge you today to think about it. What are those things that I have been telling myself I am that are actually limiting me from growing, that are limiting me from progressing as a person? And what can I do? What can I actually do to challenge those beliefs? Because then your self-image, there's actually a TED Talk, I'll put the link down below, about self-image and how we act consistent to our self-image. Whatever we think we are in our heads, we're going to act that way. But self-image can be changed, and self-image can expand, and you can get rid of certain things, and you can bring in certain things. Self-image is not like once you're born, this is the person that you are. No, it's changeable. Ask yourself, what are those things in my self-image that I want to detach from? And what are the actions that I can take today to get an inch closer to being somebody else, you know? So yeah, that's really how I make progress as somebody that has perfectionist tendencies. I allow myself to make mistakes, and I give myself the go signal to say, that's enough. I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to edit anymore. I'm not going to revise anymore. I'm not going to rewrite another essay just because I feel like I didn't like the first one. No, this is it. And the beauty of life is when we are able to embrace imperfection. And I think it also applies to, I guess, the person that I am in terms of my body. Like, I was never content with the way that my body looked. And a lot of people, you know, commend me for my body, for my shape. They're like, wow, you're so fit and whatever. But I have never, I think, unlike the past few months, before that, I always looked at myself in the mirror and didn't like what I saw. I always looked at myself in the mirror and thought I could be thinner. I could have more abs. I could have lines here and all these things. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, there is beauty in my bulges. There is beauty in my scars. There is beauty in how my body looks in this season as compared to what it used to look. And if I keep on longing for something that I don't have at the moment, I will never be content. I think that is something that can definitely battle perfectionism. Contentment. Being grateful for whatever it is that you have at this moment. And saying, that's enough. This is enough. I am enough. So, yeah. I really encourage whoever is listening that if you do have perfectionist tendencies such as me, and if you don't know what that looks like, personally, my experience is I tend to beat myself up for forgetting things. I beat myself up for, I should know better. You know, I tell myself that I should have known better, or I'm never happy with the videos that I put out. This is what I used to be, okay? I was never really completely happy with the videos I would put out. And I would also expect perfect actions from the people that were around me subconsciously. And I'd get frustrated when people would make mistakes. And I'd actually put my perfectionist tendencies on them. So that's kind of what it looks like for me. And as I continued to, you know, dive deeper into that topic and I walked through it with my mentors, one of my mentors told me that the root of that is I'm not enough. This is not enough. I have to prove myself in a certain way. That's kind of the root of it. Or sometimes I feel like God is looming over me saying, oh, no, not enough, not enough. No, but God looks at you and he sees a perfect being. You are perfectly and wonderfully made. And he doesn't expect perfection from us. He doesn't expect it. And so that has really put me at ease. I've really been enjoying the loosening of my, oh, tight. It has to be like this, has to be like this. I really have been enjoying it. And I think that I'm an easier person to be around now, and I'm an easier person to work with. And I'm still working through it, definitely, but it's good to be able to associate certain actions with the root cause of it. So when I see myself do these things, like beat myself up for making a mistake or trying to prove myself, I already have a rebuttal. I already have something to counteract that action by telling myself, I'm never going to be perfect. By telling myself, God doesn't expect perfection for me. And by telling myself that I am enough. This is enough. This is beautiful just the way it is. It does not have to be changed anymore. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next question because I can obviously go on. But I hope that you got something out of that. And I encourage you, if you are struggling with this, there is always progress on the other side. So just act according to the way that you want to feel. The next question is about your dream career and practicality. Should I pursue my dream career or should I just be practical and do what pays the bills? The way that I look at this, and this is obviously different to everyone, we all have a different path in life. And a one-size-fits-all answer is never going to solve everything, I think. So I think the first thing to do here is to ask yourself, what is my situation? What is my scenario? What is my current life predicament? Or, you know, what's happening right now in my life? Because depending on what your situation is, I think the answer would be different, whether you should pursue your dream career or whether you should go for practicality. Because there is also wisdom in pursuing something that in the long run will make you able to pursue your dream career. Because sometimes practicality is the entry point to pursuing your passion. So whether that is starting from the bottom, you know, starting in the mailroom, starting as a janitor, starting as an assistant of an assistant of the assistant, that even if right now it seems like the most practical thing, but far away from your dream career, could be the entry point, could be the beginning of your journey towards your dream career. So I think that there is a way to kind of hijack the system and to make sure that you are doing something that is practical, not necessarily your dream career, but is somewhere in line with the trajectory. You know what I mean? Like, you are angled at a place where if you continue going down this road, you will eventually reach your dream career. So that, I think that looks like looking for a job within an institute, within an industry that, you know, is related to your dream career, but has an opening as whatever, you know. At least you have work experience, at least you're starting out. And I think that it's very smart to start from the bottom as well, because you are able to get real experience, and you are able to learn how to work with people, different people. Because if you're going to be a leader eventually, you have to know what your team members do. And by starting from the bottom, you're going to have a real life experience on what each of your team members do. So yeah, that's initially just what I think. But at the same time, I actually talked about this on another podcast, and you would know what podcast this is if you listen to it. It's coming out next week, I think 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. But like, that guest of that podcast, I'm not gonna tell you who it is, but you can guess in the comments down below if you would like. That person said, like, sometimes us Gen Zs, I guess, or people in this generation are so caught up with being successful at such a young age. Like, I'm 21 right now, and there are times when I feel pressured to make the mark. I feel pressured to earn an X amount of money. I feel pressured to feel some sort of achievement in a corporate setting. But really, I'm only 21, and my parents, my mom is a different story. Actually, my parents, both of them, were a different story. They really started young. But in general, let's talk about the average person. The average person will start really doing their career when they are, or feeling successful in their career, maybe late 20s or early 30s. And here I am, 21 years old, pressuring myself to feel some sort of comfort, to feel some sort of, I made it. Why? Why am I waiting for that? Why am I longing for that? That's not my role as the person that I am, and in the season that I am in my life. That is not my role to be successful. Like, my role is to learn. My role is to harbor experiences and to meet people, to make connections. And that does not look like doing my dream career yet. So if anything, I'm being practical right now. You know, I am taking hold of every opportunity that is in front of me and making sure that there is some route towards my dream career when I take these opportunities. So let's say your dream career is to be a boss of an FMCG company, like Unilever or Johnson & Johnson or something like that. Well, it would be really hard to just jump into being the boss, right? But you can enter through internships, you can enter through being an assistant, and you can enter through answering calls for them. But that still is your way to the dream career. So it is both practical and contributing to your dream career. So I also think another thing that I wanted to share, which is here in my notes, but my laptop went on screensaver. Anyway, what I also wanted to say is that as of right now, what's practical is making mistakes. What's practical is messing up. What's practical is trying one job after another and failing. And that's really what our role is right now as people our age. So I think unless you are in a situation where you have to provide yourself for yourself, I think you shouldn't put as much pressure to be a certain someone. I think you should ask yourself, actually, who is putting this pressure on me? Is this self-induced pressure? Pressure that I'm putting on myself? That doesn't even have to be there, because I have people supporting me, and I have people that are, you know, allowing me to live under their roof, i.e. my parents. Or is this pressure actually like a legitimate concern? Like, do I actually just need to put food on the table? Survival is important in order to reach your dream career. So if you're saying right now, I just have to be practical and I have to take on this job because I need to survive, you are still contributing to pursuing your dream career. I don't think any moment in life is like isolated and apart from all the other moments that you are to experience in life. One action affects the next action. One scenario affects the next scenario. So I think you could just look at the grand scheme of things. Look at things from a bigger point of view, a bigger perspective, and say, wait a minute. Yeah, maybe this might seem a little bit boring right now. Maybe this might get me a little impatient because I want to do something else. But actually, if I were to think about it, this is contributing to me pursuing my dream career. Because practicality, being practical, is being sustainable. Putting food on the table and having whatever experience you have is making sure that you are walking closer towards that bigger goal. So I really do suggest that you look at things from another perspective. Not just what you're doing at this specific moment, but how this specific moment affects the rest of your life. You don't have to do that all the time, because of course, live in the moment as well. But if you find yourself worrying about, you know, pursuing your dream career, or if you hate your job or something like that, look at the grand scheme of things. I also saw another question from Twitter, I believe. And it was asking me, like, oh my gosh, Hannah, I don't know what to do because I decided to, you know, go to college and I decided to take up this course. But now I'm in too deep. I don't know how many years in, but I'm in too deep and I can't switch courses. And I hate my course. And I don't like it anymore, and I'm not passionate about it. What do I do? Okay, to that I would say, I don't know what in too deep is for you. But finishing college in 4 years is, I think, more unusual than finishing college in like 5-6 years, because like people switch. So if you think in too deep, I think, is 2 years or something, that's halfway. It's still possible to change your course. But I'm sure it is expensive and sometimes impractical. So I'm going to say this. When I did IB, which is International Baccalaureate, it's a diploma program in high school that helps you get into better colleges, supposedly. And it just basically makes things like higher level and harder. Like, it makes some of your subjects harder so that when you get into college, colleges can give you, like, a sem off or something because you already did the credits in high school, basically. So it was quite a difficult program. But there were certain subjects that I had to take in order to finish with a diploma that I didn't necessarily want to take, honestly. So what are these subjects? Well, I had to take... Actually, I enjoyed majority of my subjects, but there were some subjects that were really hard for me, i.e. bio. Biology. I really enjoyed the subject, but the memorization was out of this world. Like, the amount of things I had to remember, the amount of things I had to review was so, so difficult. And I'm also going to be a biologist. I'm not a marine biologist by any means. So I was like, what is the point of doing this? Like, I'm not going to get anything out of this. I found myself, you know, saying that when I'd review. But then now looking back at my experience in high school, I don't remember half of the information, the knowledge that I learned in high school. I don't remember half of it. Like, I can't tell you all of the parts of the cell. I think what I remember is, like, the mitochondria, the nucleus, the flagella. I don't even remember, like, the Golgi apparatus. I don't remember all of the parts of the cell, even. Or, like, yeah, I know, like, the stages of mitosis, but, I mean, not a lot. Anyway, I don't know a lot about that biology class, okay? But I had to memorize it just to pass the exams. So I did well in the exams, at least. But what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is I don't remember half of the practical knowledge, like the actual knowledge, the detailed knowledge. But I realized after I graduated from high school that the goal of the program is not necessarily for you to remember the process of, I don't know, photosynthesis. The point of the program is to make sure that you are able to honor deadlines. The point of the program is for you to be able to be a well-rounded student. One that is honest, that does not plagiarize. One that is able to take really harsh amounts of stress in a very short amount of time. The program taught me to balance my work, to balance my studies, to balance my sports at the same time. And all of these things, regardless of what subject it is, these lessons are absolutely necessary in life. And so whatever it is you are studying right now, whether you're passionate about it or not, I think that the way that you should look at it is, what are the actual life skills that I'm learning by continuing in this course, even if I don't like it? I mean, if you think about it, that concept of doing something whether or not you feel like doing it, that is such an important life skill. And it's something that you're going to have to take with you for the rest of your life. So you are learning a lot. Even if you don't feel like it, you are still showing up at school. You are pursuing your commitment. And you are honoring your teachers. You're honoring the school that you are attending. That is a life skill. And there are so many more skills, I'm sure, that you are learning. You are learning how to work with people. You are learning how to socialize. You are learning maybe how to make connections. And I'm sure that the people that you are meeting in your course are friends, maybe, that you can keep for a lifetime. So I really would encourage you to honor your feelings, first of all. It's okay to feel a certain way. And if it's really suffocating you that you're going to have to continue in this course, if you have the opportunity to switch 10 years from now, 15 years from now, it won't matter those 2 years that you spent in that course. It's really not a lot of time. 2 years is not a lot of time if you're gonna live to 100 or if you're gonna live to 80. So it might seem like a lot of time right now, but if you can still shift, do it, you know. But if certain conditions don't allow you to shift your course, shift your mindset na lang. And really dig deep and see the point. Try to see the point of everything that you are doing and see how you can apply it to what you are passionate about. You know, being able to be hardworking, even if you don't feel like it, being able to connect with people, being able to make friends from other spheres of life, like, you would be able to use that in your passion. I don't know what your passion is. But, yeah. I don't think it's one thing or the other. I think that one thing can always contribute to the other. So, whether you're, you know, pursuing your dream career, or you're just thinking, I gotta be practical, you can be practical while pursuing your dream career. Or, your dream career can be practical. It's all in the way that we look at it, I think. So yeah. You know, this also kind of contributes to this idea that I was reading about. I forgot where I read it. I think it was from a newsletter. By the way, James Clear, the writer of Atomic Habits, has a newsletter. Every Thursday, he shares three thoughts from himself, two quotes, and one question every Thursday. And it has been, honestly, a great newsletter for me, because it's just bite-sized. It's very easy. It's digestible. It's very easy to understand. And I always get something out of it. There we go. He said, a recipe for getting more out of what you read. Start more books, quit most of them, read the great ones twice. And what I love about that is there is, for some reason, this underlying rule in my head that every book I start, I have to finish. I don't know why, but for my 21 years of existence, I never liked not finishing a book. I wouldn't continue, I wouldn't read a new book if I didn't finish my last book. And that made me not read a lot of books, because I would have to force myself to finish a book that I didn't even enjoy, just for the sake of finishing it. Even if I didn't like the book, even if I wasn't getting much out of it. And it wasn't worth it. You know, after a while, I was like, you know what? This is so true. When I read this, I can quit a book that I don't want to finish. Because by doing that, it will actually make sure that I will read more books. I will get more out of life. And so I think it applies to decisions as well. Sometimes we want to, you know, pursue a decision just because we decided we were going to do it. We just want to do it. Bahala na, kasi let's just finish it. But what kind of attitude is that? I think that is necessary sometimes, but for the most part, if you have the opportunity to just stop and shift direction, go ahead. Like, do it. Nobody is telling you have to complete everything that you start. As I said, there is wisdom. There's wisdom in telling yourself that's enough. But there's also wisdom in completing certain things. You have to weigh the cost and the benefit of a decision. If you're going to quit this course and switch to another one, what's the cost? But what's the benefit? If you're going to stay in that course and push, what's the cost? What's the benefit? And you have the ability to tell which one is the best option. But the idea of finishing a book, I think, just condenses that whole idea into one sentence. Start more books, quit most of them. In life, you're going to tell yourself, I'm going to do this. But you have to sometimes say, you know what? I told myself I was going to, but to be really honest with you, hindi ko talaga kaya. And that's okay. Sometimes that's me with workouts. I tell myself I'm going to do 5 sets. This morning, I was supposed to do 5 sets of a run. I could only do 3. I said, if I really want to go on with today with enough energy, without being too tired, I'm just going to do 3. And I think once you make that decision within yourself, and you don't hate yourself for not finishing something, but you actually are kind to yourself and you say, actually, that's okay. And then I feel like progress and moving on is so much easier. There is this one Bible verse. Okay, so this Bible verse is Romans 14, verse 22. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Here, this is what I wanted to say. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. And the word condemn, if you don't know what that means, basically who doesn't beat themselves up. Blessed is a man who does not hate himself for making a decision. Blessed is a man who doesn't say, ah, that was stupid, but decides to do it anyway. If you're going to approve something, if you're going to say, I'm going to do this, then really commit to it. Don't hate yourself for making a decision. If you're going to hate yourself for making the decision, might as well not make the decision at all. I'm just super encouraged by this verse. Because a lot of the times I would make certain decisions and that I'd like kind of bite my tongue while I say something, or I'd close my eyes and just do it. But there is no honor in that. There's no respect in that for what you are doing. If you're gonna do something, just commit to it and pat yourself in the back and say, okay lang yan. Sometimes that's me at night. My sort of rule for myself is no sweets at night, because I tend to have trouble sleeping if I have sweets at night after dinner. But I've now realized that rule of mine is going to be flexible and it's okay. Because what it would tend to make me do is I'd binge eat na lang. And I'd hate myself afterwards. So now, like a few days ago, I was really hungry. I don't think I ate enough that day. I was really hungry. And it was already after dinner, and I was gonna sleep already, but I just needed something in my stomach. And I was like, why should I just... Oh, I was already opening the fridge, and I was like, should I eat it? And I was like, oh, but I know I shouldn't. And then after a while, I just paused. I honestly thought to myself, I said, you know what? This sandwich is gonna do more good than harm. So I'm just gonna have it. And I told myself, I literally told myself while getting the... sandwich, and while getting the almond butter and the sugar-free jam. Sugar-free, huh? I said, I'm going to have a sandwich and I'm going to enjoy it. And so, yeah, maybe you're doing something that you were opposed to, that you told yourself you're not going to do. But if you do it with the attitude of, actually, I've weighed my cost and my benefit, and this is actually okay. And then you make the decision to do it. It feels so much better because you're taking ownership of your actions. So take ownership of your actions. Okay, next question. And I think it will be our last question because we're going on longer than I expected. The next question is how to be vulnerable with others and to get over the idea that I'm a burden. This is a very... very important question, and it's something that I can really relate to. You know, maybe a few months ago, I didn't know how to ask for help. I thought that by asking for help, I would be inconveniencing someone. I thought that by asking for help, I might ruin someone's day. I thought that by asking for help, it would show that I was weak. But honestly, being vulnerable and asking for help is the most strong thing you can do sometimes. Because in those moments that you feel super weak, taking a step forward, leaning in, asking for someone to take your hand, that takes a lot of strength, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. And so I think before I answer this question, I just want to tell you that you're not alone. If you feel bad about not being vulnerable with people, if you feel bad about struggling to ask for help, just want to say that you're not alone, number one. And number two, asking for help is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of strength. Because admitting to yourself that you are weak at that moment is the only way that someone may help you be strong. Similar to, you know, this story I saw on Instagram. There was this guy getting a haircut, and his barber told him, "I don't believe in God. Because if there was a God, then there wouldn't be problems in the world. If there was a God, then people wouldn't be dying left and right. People wouldn't be suffering." And then this guy listening to the barber cutting his hair said, "Oh, okay." And he left the barbershop, and he saw this homeless guy with very messy hair. And hair that is obviously unkept and he probably hasn't gotten a haircut in a very long time. And this guy brings in this homeless guy to the barbershop, and he said, "I don't believe that there are barbers. Because look at this guy's hair. It's horrible. It's not cut. It is so messy. It is so dirty. So I don't believe that there are barbers." And the barber's like, "What are you talking about? There are barbers. I am here. But the problem is, this guy does not come into my shop and ask me to cut his hair." That is the same thing when it comes to God. God cannot help you if you don't ask for help. The barber can't cut your hair if you don't ask him to cut your hair. Because that's not the way that God works. God is not invasive. God is not trying to force you. God is not going to sit you down at a chair and cut your hair off whether or not you like it. No, God is a loving, loving God. He's not going to force himself on you. He's going to wait until you're going to come to him and say, "Lord, I need your help." Then he will help. Then he will be your strength. Then he can be your support. So being at the lowest of low, vulnerability is actually the doorway, the gateway to strength. It's the gateway to healing. It's the gateway to being built up again. So if you feel this certain way and you have people around you, I would suggest, even before you feel low, because I mean, you're going to be low again. Low times are normal. Even before you're in that low part, let's say you're normal, you're chill right now, and you're talking to your dad or your friend or whoever, "I'm in an okay place right now." I'm going to go to my dad and say, "Dad, when I'm weak or when I feel ashamed, when I feel sensitive, I feel like it's a burden. I feel like I'm going to be a burden if I come to you." 9 times out of 10, this person is going to tell you, "No way, Hannah. I'm here for you," or whatever. Or they might even say, "If you feel that way, why don't you let me know first? Dad, I'm going to tell this to you. Or Dad, I might need your help right now." Then that person can prepare themselves and it will not be a burden. That person can prepare themselves first for what they're about to hear, and then they can carry it. So when you are at a high point, when you're feeling strong, when you're feeling normal, at a good place, that's when you tell the people around you, "Hey, I might come to you, ha, when I feel low. I might need your help." And I hesitate because it feels like it's gonna be a burden to you. Let that person reassure you that that's not the case. Let that person tell you how to come to them so that it's not overwhelming. And sometimes you just have to count in your head, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mom, I need help. It's really hard. Sometimes it takes me 2 hours. Sometimes it takes me a whole day to muster up the courage to ask for help and to be vulnerable. But what's important is not necessarily the time it takes for you to be vulnerable, although it's better to do it faster so you waste less time. But whatever, don't put pressure on yourself. It doesn't matter how long it takes for you to get vulnerable, as long as you get there eventually. Because you need to let things out. There has to be a flow in your life. When you are ingesting information, when you are, you know, when thoughts are in your head, there has to be a cycle. When it comes in, it must come out somehow. Whether that's on a journal, whether that's to a person, whether that's to a therapist, your mentor, whatever it is, there has to be a flow. Because if there's not, then there's congestion. If it doesn't come out, if you're not vulnerable with people, it's going to just congest. It's going to hurt your head. I'm telling you, I've had headaches because I haven't let things out. It's just going to stay in your head and it's just going to be the worst. You have to let it out. Let it flow. Para it doesn't stay here. It doesn't stress you out. It doesn't turn into like muscle pain or something. So just let it out. But do it slowly. Don't have to force yourself. Don't have to force yourself into it. Slowly open up. Slowly open up. And that way, your core is preserved. You're not just exposed. You're not exposed to the light. You know? That's why when you're in a film set and the person that is in charge of the lights is going to turn on like a bright light, he says, "Striking!" Why? Because if he doesn't say striking, people aren't prepared for all of that exposure, all of that light. I think it's the same thing when it comes to people. You have to warn someone first if you're going to bare your soul to them. Because bearing your soul is important, but warn them first because it might be a lot for them at that moment. And maybe they might say, "Sorry, I really can't do this at the moment." Don't consider it as rejection. The person didn't say, "Don't come to me at all." They just said, "Right now, I'm in a hard place." You know, and we have to also think, "Oh my God, I'm not the only one who's vulnerable. I'm not the only one who's going through things. Other people are going through things also." And so if you just dump all your stuff to a person and you don't think about how they feel, you don't think about how it's going to affect their life, that's so mean. That is so mean. So make sure to let your person, let your friend know, let your parents know, "Striking, I'm gonna open up." Para hindi ka nasisilaw. You know, you can let your eyes adjust to the exposure of your soul. So yeah, that is the end of today's first ever Ask Cuentos with Hannah. Okay. That is the end of today's podcast. I love you guys so much, and I'll see you in my next one. Goodbye.